chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. I know this is a passage that most everybody that's been around church for a while has heard preached probably numerous times. I don't recall ever really using it myself, but I've heard a lot of messages preached out of this passage of Scripture right here. And this is what God laid upon my heart this morning. We'll read several verses right here before we get into the message. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. In today's money, that would be somewhere $3 to $5 million worth of goods. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God. He and all his company came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Father, we thank you this morning, God, for letting us gather in your house. We pray, O God, you'd help us now, Lord, to God, preach the word of God, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to set a watch over our lips. God, we'd not say nothing, God, that you didn't want said, Lord. God, we ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts to receive the word of God this morning, Lord. God, we want you to get glory and get praise, Lord, from everything that's said and done in this place, Lord. God, touch hearts and lives. We ask you in Jesus' sweet, precious, and holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Verse number 2 says this, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." Verse 3 says, she said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." I want to preach this morning on this thought, a little maid with a big heart. You'll find in this incidents right here that's going on in the life of Naaman, in the life of Elijah, and the two kings right here, this little girl, she's mentioned one time, a little maid. But she had a big impact on the lives of people there that day around her. And Naaman had a big, big problem, like a lot of folks do in the day that we live today. Not only was he a leper, but he was a man with a lot of pride about him. A lot of arrogance about him. He was a very successful man. And he had a bad temper on top of that. Can anybody relate to that? Amen. He had an attitude about him. As you really look at this story right here and read about him, he had a, I don't know, there's a lot of folks today in this old world got an attitude about them. I would to God that we could be more like this little maid right here with a big heart. And, you know, As I studied this pastor scripture yesterday and more so this morning before I come to church, God really illuminated this little maid to me. And I guess if I really wanted to focus on something out of this story right here, it would be that we could be like this little maid and have a big heart for people that's in trouble, for people that's hurting. And so as we look at this story this morning, I want you to notice some things right here as we go through this passage that I've read here. Notice, first of all, right here in this man, Naaman. He had a big title in life. He was a man that had a rank in this army here, the Syrian army. He'd made it to the level of captain. He was number two in the land, just under the king in his status in life. And he was skilled, no doubt, in warfare. He was skilled in leading the soldiers. He had great big accomplishments to his name. Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. A great man, it says right here. He was highly respected, no doubt, by the king, because it says that he was a great man with his master, speaking of the king. And he was honorable. You know, when Naaman came down the road on his chariot, and maybe the soldiers behind him, people really thought highly of him because he'd given victory over the enemies round about, the Syrian people there. So he had great respect. He had a great reputation. The Bible says in that very first verse right there, he was a mighty man in valor. He was highly esteemed in warfare. He was probably a wealthy man even. You know, you don't get to rise that high to be just under the king without having, you know, about anything you wanted, I guess, in the land. He had great authority. But notice this right here before we move on to another point right here. His rank and his respect and his reputation. But I notice what this says in this verse right here. It says, because by him the Lord had given. Can I tell you something? In this life right here, you may achieve great things in life. You may be elevated down on your job. You may acquire great things in life and great riches and great wealth. But don't forget where it come from. Don't forget who's the blesser. Amen. Hey, everybody wants the blessing, but there's a lot of folks forget where the blessings come from in life. If you're well this morning, if you've got food on your table, a roof over your head, you're blessed today. And you ought to give God thanksgiving and give God praise for all He's done for you in life. Hey, the greatest blessing that He's ever done for me was rescue me from the pathway that I was on, headed down a path toward a devil's hell, and He had mercy upon me, and He showed me grace one day when I was an enemy of God. He came to me and offered me a chance at life, a chance to be forgiven and cleansed from my sins. And so I know in life where my blessings come from. But Naaman really didn't realize where all his help had come from. He was over in Syria. He was not a part of Israel or the God of Israel. He was a lost man. But notice this right here. Not only did he have a big title, but he had big troubles. Not only his pride and his arrogance, and thinking he was on a step above everybody else, no doubt. But the Bible says in the end of verse number 1, but he was a leper. He was a leper. Leprosy was a dreaded disease in this day of your Bible right here. It was a dreadful disease. Why? Because there was no cure for leprosy except by divine intervention of God. Jesus speaks over in Luke chapter number 4, verse number 27, that there was many lepers in the day of Naaman, but there was only one cured, and it was Naaman himself. Divine intervention, though, as we'll see shortly here. Leprosy in your Bible is a type of sin. Something that's dreaded, something that's defiling. Leprosy had no cure except by divine intervention. Can I tell you, sin doesn't either. Sin has no cure except by divine intervention. When I was a lost man, there was times I'd try to turn over a new leaf. I'd try to quit doing this or I'd try to quit doing that. But I was still a sinner. I was still lost. You can't do good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We're all sinners. But Jesus, thank God, He is the cure for sin. He died on Calvary's cross, shed His life's blood, that we could be set free, that we could be cleansed from our sin. It was a most defiling disease in that day. You see, leprosy on a person, it would start out as maybe just a little small spot somewhere on the body. Could have been on the face, could have been on chest, arms, hands, anywhere. It always start out small. But once a person had it, it would begin to spread. Begin to spread. You know, sin's like that too. Sin starts out small. I remember the first time I ever touched any alcohol, Brother Vince. This old Legion Hall used to sit out here. You know, me and a couple of cousins of mine, we went down there and we waited on somebody to come out. We was 12, 13 years old. And we got them to go in there and bring us a can of beer out there. When I put that to my lips, I thought that was the awfulest thing I'd ever tasted in my life. I couldn't figure out why in the world. Why do all these men want to go in there and drink that stuff? But you know what? I went back to it. And I went back to it. And I went back to it. By the time I was 22 years old, I was on the verge of being a total drunk. You see, it started small, but it spread. It grew. That's the way sin is. That's the way the devil works. If he can get you just to yield just a little bit, before you know it, he's got you in bondage. Bondage. Same way with dope. You can try it. Before you know it, it'll be have you locked up in a place where you can't get out. It's most defiling, most disfiguring. You see, when leprosy got on a person and it began to grow, it would turn the flesh numb. It would kill the nerves. And before you know it, you know, as time progressed and as the leprosy progressed, a finger could fall off. Hand could fall off. Ears, lips, nose. It was disfiguring. Numbness. With sin, God has given man a conscience. You know, when I went down there to get that alcohol, I knew it was wrong. Went down there in the darkness of night, trying to hide. Knew it was wrong. I had a conscience. God had given me a conscience. Even though I was a lost young boy, I knew it was wrong. That's what a conscience does for you. Before you go out and partake of sin, God will let you know it. You know right from wrong. Thank God for a conscience. It was a most destructive disease. Why is that? In the law of the leper in Leviticus chapter number 13, person that thought they had leprosy, they would go before the priest and the priest would declare whether they were clean or unclean. If he looked at them and it was declared to be leprosy, they didn't get to go back home. They didn't get to go tell their wife goodbye or their children goodbye. They were separated. They couldn't go back. That was the law of the land because of the disease that they had. Sin works like that too. There's been hearts broken. Homes broken. Children left without a mama or a daddy because of sin. It's defiling. Destroys. But lastly, this is, it's a most deadly disease. You see, if a person was declared to have leprosy with no cure, and it was going to spread, and eventually it brought death. I mean, it was like a death sentence for somebody to be declared to be a leper. A death sentence. Same way with sin. If you go through this life and you don't get your sin debt taken care of through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're under a death sentence. And I'm talking about an eternal death and dying in the devil's hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for a chance at life. Thank God for a day and age of grace. That God is reaching His hands out toward this whole world saying, whosoever will can come and have life. He had big troubles. He was a leper. But he had big love and a little maid. A little maid. I want you to notice some things about this little maid. Her name is not even mentioned in the Bible. Little maid is mentioned one time. But this little maid had such an impact in the land of Syria. Notice, she had a big God. She had big faith. We see people that are lost in a heartbeat out of hell, well, to have big compassion for them. We were in the same place one day. Somebody told me about Jesus. Somebody handed me a gospel tract one day, Brother Jeff, that got me under Holy Ghost conviction. Compassion. Now notice this little girl right here. She was a slave. If you notice what the Bible says, the Syrians had gone into Israel and they brought back her as a slave. She was captured and made to be a slave of Naaman's and serving Naaman's wife. Now, she had every right to be bitter, didn't she? She had every right to sit every day in the house there of the Syrians there and just have an attitude of, boy, I can't wait till I can get even with these people. They've took me away from my homeland. They took me away from my parents. And they brought me over here and made a slave out of me. But she didn't have that attitude. Boy, I wonder if we've ever done anything to offend God. Yet God still loves us. Sin every day, but God still loves us. All we have to do is ask Him to forgive us. He said He'd be faithful and just too. Because He's already paid our sin debt. This little maid, not even given a name. God help us to be like this little maid. Have compassion on people. The way God would have us to. So we know that she told her mistress that, Lord, you know, if my master Naaman could, if he could just get down there to where the prophet is, I know he could be healed. She had great faith. Nobody had ever been cured of leprosy, but she had faith enough to believe in that God could do it. You ever seen anybody that's lost and just, I mean, just a vile, wicked person, and you just kind of wrote them off? You give up on them? She didn't give up. Even though he had most dreaded disease of the day, she had faith to believe that God could help him if he could just get down there to the prophet. And so we read as the story goes on, word got back to the king of Syria. And he gathered all the silver and the gold and the raiments, and he sent Naaman down there to the king of Israel. Now notice some things that takes place right here. There was a big test that was fixing to take place right here. Big test for Naaman. A big test for the king of Israel. As a letter, and Naaman gets down to the king of Israel, and he reads the letter. The Bible says he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? He knew he was helpless. He knew he couldn't do anything. But there was a God that could. Yeah, I remember when I was lost, the devil had me convinced that God never would save me. That I'd gone too far and I'd done too much. But God can. God will. But you'll notice right here, in verse 5, he sent with all the silver and the gold and the raiment. Verse 7, he arrived there and he presented it. Now there's a test right here. The price was rejected. Rejected. Salvation, forgiveness. Cleansing, heaven's not for sale. If you could buy your way into heaven, there'd be people lined up from here to Birmingham wanting to pay the price. Long as they could hang on to the sins and the things of this old world right here, folks would really love to pay the price. But a person has to become broken because of sin. The thing of salvation is a free gift. The price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and He washed it white as snow. Paid in full. So the silver and the gold was rejected. And now in verse 9 and 10, you'll see that Naaman's pride is rejected right here. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Boy, he rode in, riding high on his chariot that day. Had his entourage behind him, and man, he was riding high. Proud man. Proud man. Verse 10, though, says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee. Thou shalt be clean. His pride being rejected right here. Elijah didn't even go to the door. He sent a messenger out. Delivered a word for him. I'm just a little old messenger here this morning, but I got a word for you. How many times have you come to church and God had a message for you and you wound up like old Naaman right here? It made him mad. Why in the world didn't he come out here and bow down to me? Why in the world didn't he come out here and recognize me as the captain of the host of Syria? Folks come to church with a bad attitude. Folks need to come to church humble. realizing we're in God's hands. We're so dependent upon God. We need the Lord. He stood prideful instead of humble. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. The Bible says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God hates pride. He makes it very clear in His Word. He rejects pride. Not only the pride's rejected, but his perception is rejected. His idea of what he had planned. He knew how to handle things. He knew exactly what God needed to do and how the prophet needed to handle it. Look what he says. Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought." It ain't what I think. It ain't what you think. It's what God thinks. What God has said in His Word. And we better follow His Word if we want to get to heaven. Notice. He said, "I thought He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord His God, strike His hand over the place and recover the leper." I'm talking about his ideas. "This is the way it needs to be done," he said. How many of y'all ever second-guessed your preacher? "Well, he should have done it this way." Huh? But he said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. See, he had his own idea. You know, these folks all over the world today, they got their own idea about salvation. They've concocted their own ways. "Well, can I just be a church member? I'll join the church. That'll get me to heaven. Or I'll just go and be baptized. Boy, surely that'll wash away my sins. I'll give bunches of money. I'll give to the poor. I'll give to the church. I'll do great works." This was the mindset of Naaman right here. "Surely I can do something. It ain't what I can do, it's what God can do. And what God has already done." Mankind just have to come by the way of the cross. Come God's way. You see, old Naaman had his own ideas. But his perception was rejected. You can't be good enough. He lost his temper. You know, I read after one man who says, "You can go to heaven God's way, or you can go to hell your way." Truth, isn't it? There's one way. Jesus said you must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of God. You must. Church membership doesn't work. You must be born again. You must have had that experience with God when He convicted you of sin. He draws you and humbly, you call upon Him. And He bursts you into the kingdom of God. So we see a big title, big troubles, big test. But I want you to notice this right here. Before I get to his big testimony, I want you to notice this right here. In verse 12 it says, he turned and went away in a rage. Wonder how many people have been in these doors on Sunday mornings. God convicted. God offered a chance of life. And they went away. It's miserable. It's a miserable place to be. But I want you to notice God give him a second chance. a second chance. I'm glad we got a God of second chances. When we're saved and fall, God's a God of second chances. When we're lost and God deals, many times God's a God of second chances. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so we see in verse number 13, we see this second chance. It says, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest not thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean?" You know what they were saying? Why don't you do it God's way? The man of God's, he's told you, he's delivered a message to you. Why don't you come? Why don't you do it? I wonder how many times, as a lost sinner, I could have changed a lot of bad things in my life if I'd have just listened to God when He first spoke to me. I wonder how many times I walked out as a lost person, and God had given me a chance time and time again. He could have cut me off at any time. You know what? He'd have still been God. He'd have still been just. But He gave me chance after chance after chance. Let me tell you something. It's a thousand wonders this morning I ain't in hell. It's a thousand wonders I ain't in hell this morning. God was merciful, though. So, notice what happens now. A big testimony. Verse number 14 says, "Then went he down." When he first came to Elijah, he stood. But now he's going down. That's where God wants us to be, humble. Down. "He went down, and he dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God." It's always important to listen to the man of God. Always important. "So he dipped himself seven times. Six times he came up." Still a leper. "The seventh time he came up," the Bible says this, "and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean." My. How he must have felt. He'd humbled himself. Listened to the man of God. And he put his trust in the man of God, in the Word of God, the way of God. And he came up healed of a disease that nobody had ever been healed of. What a thought. Notice in verse 15, and I'm closing down right now. Verse 15 says, "And he returned to the man of God." He was thankful. You know, the old man of God that preached the day that I got saved, he'll always be special in my heart. He'll always be special in my heart. He's done gone on to heaven now. But he'll always be special. So he returns to the man of God. "He and all his company came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." What a statement. He came out of Syria where they were pagan worshipers, worshipers of idols, dead gods that can do nothing for him. But now he's healed. Now he's saved. Now he's able to thank God and realize that God is the one that helped him. That's why we ought to be thankful at the house of God. Realize where our help comes from, and we ought to come to worship God and give Him the glory and praise that's due to His name. We could all be in hell this morning without any hope, but God sent His Son into this world. He hung on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that He didn't know that we owed. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. He was thoughtful. He was thankful. He went from "I thought" to "now I know." "I thought" to "now I know." I'm glad you can know you're saved. You can know you're saved. And lastly, this thought right here. He went home after that. He went home. He went home a different man. What a difference a day can make. Can I tell you something this morning? You can go home different than how you come in today. God gives you a choice. Gives you a choice. I don't know what you need this morning. I know God gave me this message, Ray. I know He laid it upon my heart. Maybe you need the heart like this little maid. Maybe you've been unconcerned. Or maybe you're like Naaman. Maybe you've got sin. Maybe you're lost. God wants to help you today. God wants to help you. Sister Sherry.